So the Mediterranean diet is basically something that's, high in plant intake, low in kind of red meats and other, pork and things like that. Probably higher
So
when you
low
talk about
fat.
meats, probably like, yeah, low fat. It's probably higher in fish and poultry. But also, they are champion there in the high in polyphenols. So foods that have that, usually vegetables, but also they use like some olive oils and other things like that. So this greener version is actually has once again substitutes any meat there with chicken options, so lower fat options, and it also encourages people to drink green tea, and they are doing a basically a plant protein shake.
You're listening to the Addicted to Fitness podcast, brought to you by Elemental Training Tampa. Now, here's your hosts, Nick and Shannon Birch.
Thanks for stopping by and checking out another edition of the Addicted to Fitness podcast. We've got a heart healthy episode for you today. No, really, we're talking about one of the probably most, I would say, well-recognized heart-healthy diets, the Mediterranean diet. And it's got an upgrade recently. Or an upgrade, or maybe a variation that might be an upgrade with preliminary research. So we're going to talk to you guys about that. But before we do that, we want to thank you guys for joining us today. And for those who are our longtime listeners, thanks for coming back. New time listeners, new time listeners.
New time, first time,
New
new
time,
listeners,
first time, long
first time
time.
listener.
But first time listeners, thanks for finding us. And hopefully, after you listen to today's episode, you'll become a long time fan and start sharing it with your friends.
Binge all the episodes. There's a lot. We've been doing this for how many years?
I think almost five.
5 years, basically. You've got a lot of podcast episodes to choose from. Just dive on in, share them out with friends, family, and definitely feel free to leave us some ratings and reviews and just give us some feedback on what you want to listen to in the future and hopefully what you liked about the podcast. Those reviews are super important. It is what enables the algorithm of podcast delivery to give our podcast to new people. So,
Yeah, and I think as far as like reviews, last week's podcast, which you titled the podcast to
oh, Save Your Penis.
Yes, the podcast to Save Your Penis. I was forgot. I was so surprised you forgot about that.
Well, I didn't know if that was the final
Oh,
cut.
it's not the title of the podcast, but it is
That
definitely, if you guys listen to at least
was
the
the
first
title
50
I
seconds,
said you
you
should
guys will hear that. So,
do.
if you're new to the podcast, go back and listen to last week so you can know what we're talking about. But we did receive some, I would say, surprised, not surprised, but very pleasantly surprised reviews in the forms of emojis from our longtime listeners from a couple of different ones. So you guys can write a little bit more in-depth review. That'd be greatly appreciated. So on to training recaps. I have to say I feel pretty proud of myself for my training this week. Back to 5 days of workouts, of movement, Monday through Friday. A little shorter one on Monday. Peloton, but it did get them all in, and kettlebells and a body weight workout. Even did some shadow boxing with hand weights this week, so which
Nice.
is really awesome as I am really longing for the heavy bag. And like I said, we're talking about investing in really a good one soon, so that's our hope. Anywho, kettlebell exercises, Peloton, and body weight have really been getting in a good routine. So I'm going to stick with it because I think it works for me and really feels, I feel like I'm getting a good regimen down. So what about you? How'd you do this week?
I did well. I got 4 days in this week, and it included two Pelotons and then two HIIT workouts. So, all in all, good. One of my Peloton rides was actually a 45-minute sweat steady, which if you haven't taken a sweat study class with Jess King, you know that you walk away from that with, like, you know, the post-workout high, your body's tingling, and then it's like just like you basically just toast your body. Like, it's super intense, but it feels great. Like, my legs today are so tired. Like, they're just tired.
Mm-hmm.
But it was also like an invigorating experience, and I haven't had a chance to do a 45 minute in a long time, so it felt like really indulgent. So that was probably one of my high points for fitness training this week. And it felt really, I'm still like riding the high from that.
I was going to say, a 45 minute Peloton is pretty extensive.
Yeah, so. And it's like, on a scale of like 1 to 10, I'd say this thing ranges from maybe a few minutes at like 3 and 4, but majority, at least like 65-70%, I'd probably say, you're working at like an 8.
Mm-hmm.
It's a long, sustained... I love this one phrase that she has. It's called the shit shift. And it's basically when you're sitting there and it's getting so uncomfortable and so awful, and you're just sitting there going, shit, 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 shit. Like, you want to bail, you want to stop, you're ready to do whatever it is to like just end the pain, but you keep going, and then all of a sudden your body adjusts to the fact that, like, okay, mental game needs to not be resisting this, and I just need to, you know, optimize and make it more efficient. And your body is amazing. Your brain finally gets out of the way, and the whole mindset shifts from the, oh my gosh, I can't do this, make it stop, make it stop, make it stop, to let's just keep going. Like, we can do this. This is possible. I can do this, and I can figure out a way to do this less painfully. It's you've experienced that like several times during the ride.
Yeah, I mean, that's a thing with endurance sports in general. You're going to have those moments, they call it like hitting the wall.
Yeah.
You know, like when either it's a ultra race or, you know, triathlons and stuff, like guys or people who do these races will frequently hit a wall, you know, whether either they try to go out too fast or they don't monitor their pace. But the key is to basically break through that wall, whether it be to slow pace down or just take a different approach to it. But it's also a huge mental component that you have to work on, because especially for endurance race, I mean, we're talking about, I mean, sometimes there are crazy people that do ultra runs over 200 miles.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like thinking about, and the one you talked about probably about a month ago about the rowing across the Atlantic.
Yeah.
I mean, why? I mean, rowing across the Atlantic, that's one thing, because, I mean, you're going to be in the middle of the ocean if you stop. I'm sure that
right.
people can rest you. But
yeah.
The running, like, 200 miles, it's like, it's, that's, there's a definitely a level of, I mean, probably multiple, numerous occasions where you got to break through that mental wall or that wall that's been thrown up to you to, you know, stop what you're doing.
Well, and she actually talked about somebody that we've talked about before, which is the Iceman.
Oh, Wim Hof?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She said that's where she got it from.
Mm-hmm.
Because he basically has his, like, whole thing where he does, like, a very specific breath.
Oh, yeah.
And that
almost
is...
almost like hyperventilating.
And that is essentially, like, how he gets through that. And she's like, that's where I came from.
Yeah. I've done it a couple of times. It's pretty interesting because I've heard it, like, him describe how you're supposed to breathe, and it's intense. Like I said, it can definitely, it increases your breath hold immediately. Like, I mean, you think you can't hold your breath, like, for more than a minute. You do this method he prescribes, you'll go over a minute easy. I guarantee it.
Yeah.
Very interesting. It's very counterintuitive. He actually, I'm not going to get into it, but... he actually, you know what everybody thinks about? You're supposed to, like, breathe in really deep to hold your breath. He actually does the opposite. He makes you hyperventilate, which means you oxygenate your blood a lot, and then you actually expel all the carbon dioxide. So you breathe all the way out, then you hold your breath. And you can actually hold your breath longer. Somewhat counterintuitive, but it actually does work.
Yeah, super cool.
You don't want to be standing while you're doing it. Sitting is probably the best.
Yeah.
Because if you do stand, you could pass out.
Good times. Just
speaking from experience. So, anywho.
Is that what you were doing?
No, I'm just kidding. No, it's funny. I remember I did it one morning, like, when we used to live in the old house. Like, did it, and I had to, like, hold on to the vanity. Because, like, I could feel myself starting to kind of, like, somewhat pass out, you know, a little bit. And then I was like,
that's what you do early in the morning.
Yeah, that's how I wake myself up.
Oh, mm-hmm. My goodness.
Cold showers and breathing techniques.
Hyperventilating. All
right. So today's topic is one it's related to one we've probably talked about a lot on the podcast, the Mediterranean diet. I know whenever we go over through like rankings of the top diets, we've done that a couple times where, yep, like some publication will rank the top diets of the year. Mediterranean diet, it's probably inevitably always in the top three.
It's always in the top three.
Yeah. So it was interesting when I saw this article about a greener version of the Mediterranean diet. So the Mediterranean diet is basically something that's, you know, high in plant intake, low in kind of red meats and other, you know, pork and things like that. Probably higher when you talk about meats, probably like, yeah, low fat. It's probably higher in fish and poultry. Yep. But also, they are championing their high in polyphenols. So foods that have that, usually vegetables, but also they use like some olive oils and mm-hmm. other things like that. So this greener version is actually has, once again, substitutes any meat there with, you know, chicken options, so lower fat options. And it also encourages people to drink green tea. And they are doing basically a plant protein shake. And it's interesting. So this whole kind of conversation started by me seeing this study that was done comparing regular low-carb diet or low-calorie diet, with the regular Mediterranean diet and then the green Mediterranean diet. So basically they found out the green Mediterranean diet they did a study over about 300 people and divided them into those three groups. All three had those different type of diet plans. And they found out that the greener Mediterranean diet actually offered lower, kind of like heart-related markers. Mm-hmm. So the Mediterranean diet already offers basically decreases in, let me see if I get this right. It says Mediterranean diet rich in plant-based foods is linked to lower risk of heart disease, stroke, and diabetes, and currently forms backbone of dietary guidelines to stave off coronary heart disease. So kind of like we already talked about why it's always highly rated. But this green Mediterranean diet, it actually said that, it says after 6 months, the effect of each diet on the weight loss and cardiovascular and metabolic risk factor was assessed. Those on both types of Mediterranean diet lost more weight. Green lost almost 6.2 kilograms, which I think is about 15 pounds. And the regular Mediterranean was about 11 pounds. Healthy diet was about 3 pounds. Waist circumference, I don't want to go through all those. Green diet achieved larger falls in bad, low-density cholesterol, so LDL, reduction of nearly 4%. Well, they had a little 4% reduction. They also... Cardiovascular and metabolic risk factors improved more among those in the green Mediterranean diet, including falls in diastolic blood pressure, insulin resistance, and important inflammatory markers, C-reactive protein. So basically they said Mediterranean diet is good. This green, this study indicates that the green Mediterranean diet is better. It actually lowering those health-related cardiovascular and metabolic risk factors.
And so the major difference between the two is that they take the seafood out.
Yeah, I think they, let me see.
That seems counterintuitive to most of the things I've heard about, like the omega fatty acids mm-hmm. and that stuff and the positive effect they have on your heart and your body. And
Mediterranean diet, I'm trying to find, make sure what they have. It says, this included 28 grams a day of walnuts, avoidance of red and processed meat, and higher quantities of plant matter. The green tea, like I said, in a high protein form of aquatic plant duckweed, taken as a green plant-based protein shake as partial substitute for animal protein. So I don't think they get rid of the fish. I think they just get rid of red and processed meat.
Well, that's fantastic.
Yeah, so I think they still have, because I think I've seen in other ones that they have poultry and seafood still in the green Mediterranean diet. They just get rid of the red meat and process. Which is probably a low amount anyways, but, you know, yeah. They eliminate it entirely and substitute this green, you know, this plant protein. And it's funny, this duckweed plant, this is something that when I worked in basically aquatic plant control, it was a nuisance species.
Yeah, you got rid of it. It was like a weed.
Yeah, it was a nuisance species. So it's interesting that they're turning it into now like a plant product or a plant protein product.
Yeah,
it's pretty interesting. So, but yeah, this is a interesting interpretation of the what research has said it'd be a pretty effective diet plan.
Yeah,
you know, and I mean it's.
Well, I mean of green tea,
mm-hmm.
like the health benefits, not like necessarily the caffeine portion,
right?
But the antioxidants in green tea,
right.
There's a reason that's part of like the Japanese culture.
I imagine it has and the polyphenols.
They've proven.
About, right?
I don't remember, but I mean that is a huge part of the lifestyle and diet
right.
that of cultures. I mean, I read an article recently that was talking about how the Japanese are considered like to have one of the healthiest long life spans,
mm-hmm.
and they dedicate a lot of that to the diet. And like mm-hmm. you think about what makes those key components, and frequently mentions, you know, green tea as
right.
being just a regular, you know, they're not having fruit teas or no sugar teas, and like it's really good for you,
right?
So yeah, basically if you like matcha without loads of sugar and dairy in it, keep at it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, this is super interesting though, because I mean, I think, I don't know, of all of the quote unquote diets, you know, just different ways of eating, the Mediterranean has always been the one that interested me the most.
Right.
But I feel like you can always get more plants
in
your diet.
Right. And I think the Mediterranean diet is mostly plant-based. They've always said that, you know.
Yeah, it is.
But it's also the most variety because it's like, you know,
they don't cut out like entire food groups. It's
right.
more like it's high percentages of plants
mm-hmm.
and then low-fat, good-fat
right.
proteins. Which, you know, you hear a lot of things about like high fat diet or low fat diet or high carb diet, low carb diet. This doesn't have any of that. It's not focusing on a macro. It's really looking at a whole range
mm-hmm.
and you have less of those. Yeah. Like the red meats.
Right.
I mean, I'm pretty sure Mediterranean diet like also includes like goat.
Right.
Stuff
yeah.
like that. So.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it's really, really interesting. So it's kind of cool that they're taking this slightly different spin. And I'm always happy to hear
mm-hmm.
when the proof comes back that a mostly plant diet is mm-hmm. actually probably the
right.
way to go.
Yeah. And I think that I just like the Mediterranean diet mostly for its variety, you know,
yeah,
and that it doesn't
absolutely.
Limit itself and tell you, hey, don't eat this, don't eat that. It's just like, all right, we are heavy on this sign, and this is basically to get us over the edge for our protein intake. And now they've plant proteins is a whole nother topic we can get on, but the amount of that research has been going into nutrition research about the availability of protein through plant sources is really becoming prominent nowadays. And that's
yeah.
really interesting because especially something like this, like a weed, literally, I mean, I used to see this all, we see this all the time in Florida, this weed right here. Okay, I don't know about the exact species, but it's a related weed, and I mean, it is just everywhere, and now they're cultivating it to produce plant protein for human consumption, which is awesome. You know, and that's what really kind of like, interests me.
It's like mushrooms. You know? It's
mushrooms, like, pea protein.
Wow.
I mean, that stuff. I mean, pea protein is one of the most complete proteins there is.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
there's a reason we gave it to our daughter.
Yeah,
dairy milk.
I've heard like really well-renowned like body, basically, I wouldn't say dietitians, but nutrition specialists, including those that are bodybuilders that do like lifting, are talking about the beneficial plant protein.
It is, I mean...
Or pea protein, excuse me.
We did a very deep dive when we were looking at, like, dairy substitutes, because I did not want my child to be on, like, a cow's milk.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I dug deep into the different milks, all the different milks, like, including other kinds of animal milk. Goat's milk, you know, that stuff. Pea protein, one, hands down, every single time. I mean, it is just amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. So that's why I said this thing is cool, not only for the health benefits, the lowering of LDL, basically all the indicators of, you know, our possible markers for that you see increase with cardiovascular disease or metabolic syndromes. So lowering all those things is really promising, and I think that's cool. With and also the added aspect of basically introducing more plant protein.
Yeah.
So I thought it was pretty cool. Thought it was a cool article and a cool basically breakthrough in nutrition science. Mm-hmm. So you know what's also a pretty cool breakthrough?
What's got us pumped?
Yeah, that's right.
Nah.
Yeah, not the best segue I've ever had in my life.
I could see it in your eyes.
So, what's got you pumped?
Well, what's got me pumped this week has been actually taking some one-on-one adult time this past weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And having our wonderful, lovely, amazing daughter be able to spend an overnighter with her grandparents and give us what I feel like was mentally, emotionally, everything. I mean, it was just, we needed that. And, that opportunity, and also like to know, like to be able to have a conversation that lasted more than 5 minutes, that wasn't a bunch of broken, you know, maybe you get like a sentence or two in.
Yeah.
And then you lose your train of thought and you have to come back to it, which I've gotten really good at, but it's still like, I mean.
Annoying.
Yeah. It's not even like annoying. It's just your brain has to be going in so many different directions. It was wonderful just getting to focus on us. And I would say if you are a couple, or if you are, you know, especially I think if you are parents, and a lot of us have been in the same house with our families, you know, if you're living with your family, then it might feel like you almost are like absorbing them, you know, in a way, because you are always together.
Mm-hmm.
There's a really great thing, and I also believe that this is true about spending time on your own. It's really important, but I think it's also like for relationships, friendships, partnerships, it's important that you just get some uninterrupted quality time together.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And I mean, people asked us what we did, they're like, oh, you got like a night on your own. What'd you do? Like thinking like we went out. What, I don't know what they expect us to do. Like, you know, paint the town. We went to dinner and then we went to an ice cream shop.
Yeah.
And we were still back here by like 10. So, I mean, it's not like, it was pretty close to a kid's night, but it was just one of those great nights, you know? It was just, And same thing for like the next morning and being able to kind of pick that up and continue it. So yeah. I know it's not a thing. It was an experience and it was, you know, something that we're hoping to replicate in the future. But I think it was just really important. I know a lot of people push on like having date nights, but this was even better because I feel like on a date night, it's not enough time for me. It's not enough time for me to let go of like the mom mode and the 50,000 other things I have to do like the next day. It was just really nice to be able to let go.
Yeah.
So.
I agree.
It was very nice, was honey. Nice.
I know. Looking forward to the next one.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Come soon enough. Well, that's good. That was a mutual got us pumped because I was pumped for that. Yeah. I'm pumped for when it comes back again. But what else has got me pumped, and we were talking about a little bit in the main topic about lowering LDL cholesterol, my cholesterol has been lowered thanks to medication I went on about a month and a half ago. Just got the results back. My total cholesterol went down by almost, I think it was 100 points. And then my LDL went down by almost 90 points. So very promising, very good progress.
That's awesome.
So I'm very happy with it. And I'm going to continue staying on it and make sure, you know, obviously things can stay lowered. And hopefully it's something I can, you know, minimize the dosage over time. But it's an important thing, you know, it's something that's probably very genetic that runs in my family. So it's something I can't really avoid. I've tried doing some diet changes, but I think I'm had no side effects from this medication that I'm aware of. Mm-hmm. So, I think I'm going to just at least stick with it and possibly, you know, just monitor the dosage as we go to see if we can get it down lower or maybe supplement with some other types of non-prescription based medications.
Yeah.
So, awesome. Pretty pumped about that.
Yeah.
And I said it wasn't ruined by the not fasting on the day of my blood test. So.
I know.
So, I was pretty happy about that.
That rogue croissant.
Definitely pumped about that.
Heck yeah. We're all right, pumped about that.
Mm-hmm. You guys, if you guys got pumped from this episode or any of the past ATF podcasts, please let us know by giving us a rating review. That will really get us pumped.
Heck yeah.
Let us know if you're pumped to get us pumped.
This is getting a lot of pumps in here. I feel like it's going to go to a dark place.
Oh, sorry.
It's going to go to a dark place real soon.
All right, guys.
I knew it.
That's right. Yep, so before we go to that dark place, I'm going to get out of here. You got anything else for him tonight?
No.
This has been another edition of the Addicted to Fitness podcast, and we'll check you next time.
Thanks for letting us pump you up.
For all things Addicted to Fitness, you can check out our website, addictedtofitnesspodcast.com. You can also give us a follow on Twitter, @TheATFPodcast. And like and follow the Addicted to Fitness podcast Facebook page. Last but not least, please give us a rating and review in the iTunes store. Thanks.